now today with the whole social media aspect, I think everybody by trade getting into the car scene either becomes a photographer or needs to know one. What is up, everybody? Welcome back.
This is the Late Night Motor Club,
the only podcast you care about. I'm Alex.
I'm Steven.
And I'm Tyler. And today's juicy podcast topic, we'll tell you about it, but first,
you gotta subscribe.
Subscribe.
Like, comment.
Smash that like button. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, please give us the 5 stars, the 5-star review.
All 5 of them.
Be greatly appreciated. We actually said it in the beginning for once, so.
Yeah, we remembered.
Do it, because we're probably gonna forget it on the next one.
Yep.
But today's episode, we're gonna talk about some important stuff close to us, close to our experience, which is photography and video work within the automotive space.
Yep.
Exactly.
And it's something where it's not directly automotive related, given that it's photography, filmmaking, whatever it may be.
But it like low key kinda is.
But it really is, and if I were after like not speaking for you guys, but in terms of myself, and I know it relates to you guys, it kinda what started it out for me when I started with cars, it developed alongside
with
cars.
Yeah, and I feel like photography and videography kind of sounds like a stupid thing to be talking about when you're talking about cars, but to be quite honest, it's what it starts out for everybody. Even if you're not in the cameras more than you realize, you guys had to see those pictures of those cars somehow. Yeah. Where whether you're looking at it on Instagram, watching videos on YouTube, or you're looking at I don't know if you're looking at a forum online, wherever you're at, somebody had to take a picture of that.
It's definitely a very large part of the car community is either the photographers who also have cars or even the photographers who are not necessarily building anything,
they
but
don't
are
even
still
have a build.
They're still just as a part of the scene as
very much
right.
So yeah,
the scene as anybody else.
And I think some of my biggest inspirations, sometimes even though the car was sick, it was the way the video was shot about the car, and it brought this whole persona on about the build that made me think like I want this.
Mm-hmm.
And like it fully kind of captures that sick idea that you have of like this is badass, you know what I'm saying?
I know this might be too early to give examples, but prime example of something like that, the OG Night Run video that was on Reggie Ma's FRS. One of the OG Rocky Pony ones.
Yep.
That just created like such a, it almost created a whole world around this one car that I feel like really slingshotted the brand Night Runner into what it is.
Yep. Slingshotted? You think it's...
What? Is there a better term for that?
Slingshot? I don't know.
Slingshot?
Oh, where are we going? Okay.
Yeah.
So,
photography.
Back to the topic.
Yeah.
We're going to first talk about kind of our experiences with photography, videography, how they played along part our kind of automotive careers in a way. And then we're going to dive into how it affects the automotive industry in a positive manner from people getting into the automotive scene. Solely off of, let's say, taking photos of cars and anything of that matter. So first, we're going to dive into kind of talking about us a little bit in terms of photography, videography, and how it related to us. So,
how would you say that you got started in photography? Like, what was the initial, I guess we'll go in order, or Steven first and whatever. But what was like the initial key in either the car scene or in whatever you're doing in your life at the time that brought you into photography?
So it all started for me kind of when it was about 7-8 months after I got the GTI, which was my first car. This was back when I was 17 years old, and I recently bagged the GTI, which is when I actually started my Instagram and started posting about my car after I bagged it, given that I didn't want to post about it stock. I had to do like something cool to it to actually post about it.
Nowadays, you could be a whole influencer with a stock Volkswagen.
You can.
Just make memes all day.
So from that point, bagged it, and then not long after, I put it on a set of VMRs, and that's when I picked up a Canon T3i. I think it was a T3i.
Oh, perfect. That's what I started with.
Solid entry camera. I think I like it.
No autofocus.
Like dumb cheap camera, but it did the job. And I picked up a Canon 50mm 1.8, the best budget lens out there if you're just looking to start out, in my opinion. And then I just started taking photos. So I, like, every afternoon, pretty much, I went out, found spots, constantly spot hunting, taking photos, constantly posting on my Instagram. And that's kind of what grew year after year after year. And alongside that, my photography skills grew as well. So as I kept shooting, as I kept posting, growing my page, I was developing more and more skills in the photography aspect of things. I was making friends with photographers, given that not only did I have a car, but I had the photography aspect where all the content I was posting on my page was my content. Mm-hmm. So it also shared a connection with photographers as well, where in theory, like my page was my photography.
Yeah, your photography alongside your car. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a form of art.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And then from there, just grew and grew. Later down the road, I upgraded my camera to a Canon 60, upgraded the lens, kept pushing myself more and more in terms of editing skills, developing my style, and then just expanding on content creation as well. So that's kind of what started it for me, where it really was alongside my car.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't really doing anything automotive content wise before I started posting about the GTI. So I wasn't in it. I wasn't like taking photos or anything of cars before I kind of got in it with my car.
Did you do any non-car photography before? Or did you just start?
I did. So I was into photography before, where like in middle school, like yearbook and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
All the photo class, like that was my shit, where I was like all into that in grade school and stuff like that. But then I fell in love with it again, given that after let's say going into high school, the end part of high school, I kind of lost touch with it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I picked it back up after
with the car
after I bagged it and started posting about it.
Yep.
What about you, Tyler?
Yeah.
Mine, so I kind of have like a weird, I wouldn't say weird story about how I got into it, but I actually kind of fell more into the video side.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to, when I was a kid, grew up skateboarding, right? And as I progressed skateboarding, I was like, okay, I want to get sponsored. The only way to do that was to film a
something with a fisheye.
Yeah, something with a fisheye and film a skate video. So I had this little MP3 or MP4 video camera. It was some weird little thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was making skate videos. I was like dedicated to try and make like a sponsor me video, right? And, you know, as fate will find it, I never sent any one of those tapes in, but
those were the days.
It was a ton of fun to make all those. And then I ended up getting into a little bit of gaming, and I started making these like montage videos of like no scopes and whatnot. Call of Duty, bringing it back.
No scope.
Right. And
so
then
you were that guy that beat me all the time.
Yeah, dude, I wasn't even that good. I just liked making the stupid videos.
Yeah.
And that was a phase for me for like maybe a few years, and it was never heavily on the videography side of like trying to make it was just I wanted to capture the things that I was doing, right? And so in that medium, my phone couldn't do it at the time, so I was using this little stupid camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up putting that down, and when I started getting into building my Mustang, I built, you know, after it was broken, remember how we talked about that whole story?
Oh, yeah.
But people started asking me like how I started doing the things I was doing, and I was like, okay. When I sold it and got the Genesis, I was like, I'm going to document it because I have a clean slate, and I'm going to show people how I do it from start to finish. And I started with a GoPro because I was like, you know, I was used to a camcorder before. I knew kind of how to edit. And so I started recording everything I was doing with a GoPro. And then that, for whatever reason, when I got into the YouTube thing of like trying to make YouTube videos about what I was doing, I just became 100% obsessed with how can I make this more look like a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got so so into the videography thing where I started learning. I went from the GoPro to the T3i, and then I kind of jumped up the little notches the T3i same way. Game. The T3i to the T5i, and from the T5i, I went to a 70D, and then I, you know, went to Sony.
Yeah, of course, side. Like we all do.
Yeah.
Actually, I want
to
switch.
So. Yeah. I went to the best there is. But I was just completely in love with trying to make mine look like a movie and how I can edit these videos to just be super cinematic.
Googling how to put black bars around.
Dude, you know, it's so funny.
When I learned how to like actually do that in editing, it blew my mind. I was like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And then I was like,
Oh,
this takes away from perspective.
Yeah, that phase lasted like maybe two videos, and I was like, you know what? This is actually not that cool.
We'll get into that specific part a little bit later in this podcast, but don't do that.
Right. Yeah. And so after that, then I started learning a lot about videography by itself, cameras, how it worked. I started shooting things for people, other things that didn't even relate to cars. And then my photography is a product of a necessity to go along with the videos. So I learned videos first. Primary thing that I learned is videography. And then...
Before photography.
Yeah, I was,
before photography.
Yeah, I was the opposite then. Yeah. Photography first, then videography for me.
Yeah. That's a difficult first leap because video is like just confusing.
Yeah. At first. There's a lot of different things that you have to learn, like your shutter speeds and everything that you need to learn to shoot is so different from pictures as it is for videos because
it's a lot more complex.
Yeah.
It just applies differently.
It's a moving picture.
Yeah. It's a moving picture. Right. And so that concept you have to understand. And then I just loved shooting cars, videos, shooting my own stuff, doing the tutorials, the how to stuff. Like that was just my bread and butter. I loved it.
You film a lot. Like I have to give you credit for that. Like I film
everything
a lot. Cause like one thing that, like, I wish I had more motivation to do is filming more of, like, what I do.
Dude, yeah, I film absolutely everything that I do, even if it's not car-related. Freaking going, like, when I just went to my vacation recently, filmed everything that I did. Yeah. And it's just because I like it. I like doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's tough because, like, I enjoy doing that too, but then the other side of me, I have to focus on either where I'm at or what I'm doing instead of focusing on filming, given that my perfectionist side of me comes out to where if I don't focus 100% on the filming, then like
might as well not be doing
it. Yeah, it just doesn't work like that for me. Yeah. That's like, for example, with the wide body process, why I didn't film that whole process.
Because you have to focus on
or like do like how to or the full YouTube section is because, I don't know. Like, that's why I give much respect to you and whoever does that, and just they enjoy filming it in the moment. That's tough. Mm-hmm. Not everybody could do that. I can't really do that. I'm still trying to find that within myself, but
yeah.
So that's kind of how I got into this whole thing. And, still to this day, carry that passion for videography and photography. And like I said, filming everything that I do, because I don't know. I like it.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
It's the most fun thing ever.
Right. And you know, it's funny. Just as much with cars, with videography, I get stoked on like, this shot is going to look great.
Oh, yeah. And it always goes like hand in hand.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it the best feeling when you create content that you created and that you're stoked and like
when I watch
excited
my
own, to release?
Yeah. When I watch my own video like four times because I'm like, this is sick.
Or you watch it 60 times because you hate it so much. You're just like, oh, no, this is trash. I spent like 4 months on this.
Yeah. How'd you get
your
into
turn.
It?
Your turn.
Oh, no. Kind of similar to Tyler. But I would say I started with photography first. Probably around end of like eighth grade, going into high school time-ish, maybe. I think that's right. But I was into like film photography before cars and all that stuff. Just shooting like random,
so trendy boy
art kind of stuff. Ooh. No, this is not some trendy feet dangling over a building, dog.
That was me.
Rip.
I did that over waterfalls when I was
insert cool hiking. Photo that I took of exactly that, but it's cool.
My bad. But then I got into the video side solely because we got Tyler's microphone DJing on the arm here. We got a little belt noise for me too. Cool. We're all over the place. But I got into the video side of stuff through like BMX, like you did with skateboarding, where I was like the filmer of my friend group, started with a GoPro, traded my drum set for my brother's Canon T2i.
Oh,
yeah, major throwback. Didn't even have the folding screen, dude.
Dude, you had that T2i forever.
It's still right there.
Yeah. I remember when we first started shooting videos, you were still using the T2i.
So I use that for...
That's funny how we all started on pretty much the same camera.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Everybody starts there. Everybody.
Yeah.
It's what everyone like recommends.
Yeah. You start with shit.
Yeah.
If every
it was good for
yeah,
them.
It was good. It gets the job done.
I used that camera from high school until end of 2017.
Dude,
so like way longer than I should have.
Paired with a good lens and good editing.
Yeah. My thing was always like, one, I never had enough money to like buy the camera stuff I wanted. So I was just a huge believer in like, no matter the equipment you have, if you're good at photography, you can take a good picture with it.
Right. And so little secret for everybody out there, I professionally, I don't kind of want to like give what I do for work, but professionally I do video and photography, right? And I used the 70D for client work.
Oh, yeah. Dude, you know how much client work I used the T2i on?
Yeah.
People, like, didn't...
didn't even know.
They didn't notice. So,
yeah.
Yeah. As long as you know what you're doing with some settings, it's all basically the same.
Yeah.
But then I filmed BMX videos for, like, a handful of years while still doing, like, the art side of photography stuff and then going to college, art school, blah, 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 all that stuff. And then basically... I wish I did more of both, but the photography stuff I kind of stopped doing as much and leaned more into the video stuff when I realized like, oh, editing is like what I love, what I learned through the BMX stuff. Yeah. And then that's what carried on to the vlogging and then moving here and then finally being able to afford equipment to be able to film the style of videos that I want.
Right.
I know I just said equipment doesn't matter, but I got really shaky hands, so... Had to get a gimbal too.
You know what's funny you say that is I used to be so envious of you because you would shoot these incredibly stable shots with your T2i.
Yeah.
And I was like, how the hell is this guy getting this slow-mo shot with a T2i?
Yeah,
and I kept sitting there with a slider and trying to push it slow
mm-hmm.
to even try and replicate slow shots. And I'm like, how are you doing this?
Yeah, no, that was just me, arms to the side, just going like this.
Oh,
like 100 times. Until I could pull out like 1 or 2 seconds of smooth footage and then a whole lot of warp stabilizer. But yeah
optical
think,
flow.
Yeah, straight up. But yeah, that kind of brings me to there's a lot skipped there, but whatever. To current time. So
right.
Like to BMX, to cars, photography, that kind of shit.
Yeah, we all kind of have like a similar experience, especially kind of, we'll say like later in life when we started doing the whole car thing where cameras were very much so a part of our journey in the automotive industry. And, you know, I feel like this is super relatable because I know a lot of people who are out here, either they get into cars and they're like, I want to show the world my car. How do I do that? Oh, well, I got to learn how to take some pictures. Or there are people who are like, I really mess with the car scene and I would love to get into it, but I can't quite afford this to get a car because either, you know, you're not set up to buy a car like this or afford parts like that and you shoot cars.
Yeah. You can't afford a camera.
Yeah, you can afford a
camera. Especially nowadays with your phone, dude. Everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's more on the gear side of stuff, but like, you guys have such good cameras just like out the gate now. I mean, we all do. Like, it's crazy.
Crazy. Yeah, like slow-mo shots before
when we
started doing it. It was like...
Yeah, how much money you had to drop to get a camera that did like 120 frames.
Yeah, right.
It was
that was
insane.
That was the biggest thing. To even get 60 frames, I was like, oh, if I could only get 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be great. But, you know, it's crazy. I think now today with the whole social media aspect, I think everybody by trade getting into the car scene either becomes a photographer or needs to know one.
Definitely. If you're on like the social media side of stuff, it kind of forces you to be your own photographer, video guy. Granted, it's all different levels, perspectives, and all that kind of stuff. But you definitely are forced to at least like kind of learn the basics of stuff that people 5 years ago might have never needed to know at all. They were just like, oh yeah, maybe I'll pay someone every once in a while. But
right,
and that's how it was like 3-4 years ago, where so many people on social media, let's say car pages and whatnot, these guys didn't make their own content.
Mm-hmm.
All the content they posted about their car was from other photographers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they went out every week and paid this photographer every week to get new sets of photos.
Or, like,
every
going
week.
To shows or, like, Cars and Coffee stuff to get, like, local shots and yeah. all that kind of stuff.
I'm gonna single out one word that Steven said, paying somebody every week.
Paying?
I think now,
oh, paying?
I think we can
money?
Now get into some of the dark
money
sides.
Money for service?
Yeah, some of the dark sides of photography. So getting into this, I'm sure all of you guys, even at home, have experienced this if you do any type of photography. When I started doing photos and videos, I loved it. So my car, I was shooting my car. I was shooting my homies' cars, right? And then when I started realizing, you know, like, yes, this is a hobby, but it does take a lot of freaking work. Mm-hmm. And so when people start hitting me up, they're like, hey, bro, I want to shoot my car. Can you meet me here? Let's do this. Let's do that. This whole entire shoot, we'd be planned out just for somebody else to do something. And then I would be working on the side to make that happen.
Yeah.
And you know what kind of I feel like sucks is then the expectation is that people would be like, hey, you do photo and video. You can shoot my car, bro. Thanks.
Yeah, no.
And that's like dap you up and call it a day.
Yeah, no, not at all. Don't do that. If you do that, you're the worst. But yeah, the whole paying the I feel like in the real world, the whole paying for photography and video work is still an issue for everybody.
People hate
but
it, even professionally.
In the car world, I feel like it's so far and few between that people realize that, like, you have to pay for this stuff because you're not only paying for my time, you're paying for my gear and the
right.
years of work and knowledge to be able to do this and all this stuff.
Well,
right.
you're
and they're
you're
the cheapest dude. They
you're
don't
simply,
pay.
you're simply paying for something because you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like going out. It's like going out to eat dinner instead of making it at home.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's not like you're going to go up to the waitress or waiter and be like, yeah, I want that shit for free.
Yeah.
You know what the common misconception is? I think with photography in general, and especially in the car community, because people say, why? It's just a picture. The quote unquote, it's just a picture. Like,
then why are you asking me to take it, Doc?
It's just a picture, bro. It's not the end of the world.
It's not that big of a deal. It's just a couple of pictures, bro. Like, that's the thing that you're touching on right now, where it's the gear, the years of experience, all the things that you had to learn to even be in the position to put your finger on the button to take that picture and set it up. Like, because literally, I was trying to tell my girlfriend actually this the other day when I was asking her, hey, can you just film this clip for me? And the settings got messed up. And I was like, here, let me do it. She was like, oh, you can just tell me. And I'm like, I can't tell you.
It's hard to describe.
You have to be, it's the way that it's going to capture this data,
yeah,
this light data in this space and time to capture what my eyes interpret and how I want to put it out there. You know what I'm saying? It's like a weird con. You understand
it's
what
I
can't
really describe it.
Yeah.
Very specific.
Yeah.
But
because also, like with editing, let's say editing a photo, you can't just say, okay, do this, this, and this, and this. When I'm editing photos, like custom editing photos, not just slapping a preset on there, I'm going through different versions of the photo and seeing what works best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Testing out different.
Yeah. You have to run tests.
Different
like
sittings and everything just to see how things work together. It's a lot like with editing, it's a lot of trial and error.
Oh, yeah.
People
yeah.
don't realize it's not just clicking a button and, oh, it's edited. It's trial and error of what looks good in your eyes and what's in your eyes won't be in somebody else's eyes.
Yeah, and I think the functionality of social media actually is what kind of constructs people's belief that it is easy, because all these presets in social media have been made already and they think it's just as easy as swiping through a filter. But on a regular picture, it doesn't quite work that way, you know?
Yeah, it's all like, I mean, even if you take the time and you have the knowledge to make like really in-depth presets for yourself, even when you plug those presets in, you still have to adjust it afterwards. But
or
it's all
if you buy a preset pack from like a known photographer.
Yeah, you're not a photographer.
Buy my presets.
And
buy his presets.
Those. Oh, sorry.
No, you're good.
Those presets won't work on every photo. Oh, yeah. Like if you're overexposed on a photo and you slap a preset on, the photo is still overexposed. It's not like the preset fixes that. So, yeah.
But back to the whole payment thing. I think what really in the car scene, especially why people struggle to make money off photography or videography. Obviously, there's been people that have been very successful at it, especially like on the video side. There's like a good handful of dudes who like do almost all of the work for a lot of these companies. But the car itself is such a unnecessary, like extravagant expense that I feel like car people look at the photography like this is already pushing the limits of like unnecessary. What's also even more unnecessary is paying money on top to get pictures of the unnecessary.
Yeah, I get that too.
There was a meme I saw the other day where it's just like $5,000 for wheels, $2,000 for suspension, another $1,000 for this, and then it was like $50 or $100 for photos? Nah.
Yeah.
Straight up. You know, it's the craziest thing, and why I used to and still love videos, and now I'm seeing it more with photos, is I used to explain to people taking the camera, and the reason that I even use it is because nobody will ever see what I see. So let me show you. And the only way to do that, to show you the way that I see and the way that I think, is to record it and to take a picture and to capture what I'm seeing and how I see it.
Yeah, because that's why I love like film so much, because it's literally just like, obviously normal people look at it as like just a picture or just a video, but in reality you are forcing someone to look
through your eyes.
Yeah, look at something the exact way you saw it, which is like the coolest thing ever, because in no other realm or way are you able to like really show someone that, you know.
Yeah, and it's just like so hard to like express what that's like to try and show somebody and express the way that you see something. And I think this whole photography thing plays, no pun intended, a much bigger picture in the automotive, like the whole history of the automotive industry than people realize. Because
magazines,
right?
Yeah,
all these things. Those posters that you had on your wall when you were a kid, if you had any, anything that you looked up to was all media, and it had to be captured somehow. And you know what else it took? The right person to be standing there to shoot that picture.
Yeah.
And you know that poster of that Lamborghini that you had in your room when you were 6 years old?
No.
That photo that that photographer took probably charged that client who made that poster a ton of money.
Yeah.
The person that took that photo didn't charge nothing to have that on that poster.
Nah, dude, they totally just did it for the exposure, dude.
Dude, it's nothing, bro.
Come on, dude. I have like 30,000 followers, and if I put this on my story, you should work for free, dude. What are you talking about?
Payment with exposure, dog.
One interesting concept that just came into my head regarding that, where I was talking about like $5,000 wheels, $2,000, like that whole thing. Yeah. I feel like one reason why people have that mindset of like, I don't want to pay that much, is because once they post it on social media,
to them,
they're not
burned.
Like it's done in their mind. They can't post it again.
It's already been used.
Yeah. It's already been used. Yeah. So they don't want to spend
when it's like a dirty napkin.
Yeah. In reality, the picture's for you to like look at it again and enjoy it yourself, not necessarily to, just a post on Instagram, but a lot of people look at it that way.
And if you're just looking for photos to post on Instagram, just invest some money into buying a camera and just do it yourself.
Not even, dude. Just get the latest iPhone or whatever, and you'll be set.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Trust me, you're good. If you cannot take pictures with an iPhone that come out well, it's you. It's not the camera. So fix that first, and then get the camera.
Facts. Yeah,
that's literally, like, seriously, that's what it is. Just try to take...
even the new cinematic mode on the iPhone.
Yeah, it looks great.
It's wild.
I think, I mean, this might be a little fork in the road here, but I think there's a very big distinction between these car photographers in a way that, at least I believe, where there's a huge difference between product photography and like automotive photography.
Oh, yeah.
Where the automotive photography is like artwork of cars, but it's a very fine line between maybe you think you're taking, or I mean, it's totally subjective, but it's hard to describe.
One way to put it is the automotive side, where it's, let's say, just an automotive photographer. Their style usually is more extravagant. Mm-hmm. It might be more colorful. Mm-hmm. It might have a different play on things. It might be very monotone or a play on shadows, whatever it may be in terms. It's very style-based.
Yeah.
Versus product photography. And product photography can also be automotive photography.
Yeah,
where
it still
like,
has its place.
But it's more realism.
Yeah.
Where it's a play of lighting. Where if you've ever seen in-depth like photographers where they're coming out and they have their whole lighting rigs and everything, mm-hmm. and they're on the tripod, whatever it may be, that is more realism, yeah. to where they're trying to capture the true quality and the best quality that they can
out of
the photo.
Paint the picture of what that
product
is trying to display.
Yeah. Versus a lot of automotive photographers, it's playing their style on things. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily have to be the greatest quality.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be shot on the greatest camera.
It's all up.
But it's developing your style, where it's like there's so many photographers that I can name that have their own unique style with it, where it's like if you show me a photo,
you know, it's
I'll know what photographer it is. A lot of the realism stuff, the product photography, if you show me two side by side, I could say it was shot by the same photographer.
Yeah.
Right.
I always go by the rule of thumb. If the picture is cool because of the car that's in it or the car part that's in it, that's product photography. If the picture is cool no matter what car is in it, that's like automotive photography.
Yeah.
You know.
And you know,
yeah.
I kind of want to go back to why it's super important to have all of this inside the automotive community,
mm-hmm.
is because I think it's super easy to overlook, because when you're watching something, you're assuming about something else, like a car, right? You're assuming like this is what your attention is on, is the car. And the thing that heavily influences the way you want to build something is because you've seen it somewhere, whether it was in a video or in a picture, and the way that it was shot. Sometimes that heavily, like there are videos that have heavily influenced my opinion on why I even wanted to get a specific part because of the way that it was on this car and the way that it looked and how much that captivated and moved me to build the thing that I wanted to build. But I completely ignored the fact that it mainly was because I was inspired by the video.
Yeah.
And the way the video captured this car.
Again, circling back to like the Night Run video.
Right.
If I were to see a video from that time shot on an iPhone 4 of the same car, just to walk around, you're like, oh, yeah, cool car. But seeing, shout out, I think it's Box One who made that video, made a bunch of cool videos around that Canada area. What was I saying?
How cool it was.
Oh, yeah. it created like such a like a world and storyline around the car that like the parts you see in that video, your brain associates with like this like undescribable coolness,
right?
Or vibe around
and exactly that, like
two videographers that are very cinematic. They have the style and they kind of give a very good feel to it, where like you feel, I don't know how to describe it, but you feel the video is Skurril Weekly and Harnett Media.
Oh yeah, they go super hard. Skurra coming down soon. Shoot the LC.
Oh, is he?
Oh,
actually?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, that's gonna be sick.
Like sometime this summer?
Hopefully like next month or the month after.
Oh damn.
Super excited on that. He's like one of my favorites.
Let me know. I'll
cruise with.
Yeah.
Gang.
We'll all watch.
Yeah.
And if we have guest appearances by that
him time? For sure. If you're watching, I know you're not, but if you are, you're more than welcome. But other people, I think definitely, like if you're into this realm of automotive photography or film work or anything like that, definitely check out Skurra, Hartnett, like you said.
In Japan.
Obviously, Crispy. Hartnett's in,
and he's in
Australia, but he lives so close to Japan. He's there all the time.
Yeah, he's always filming out there, but no, he's an Aussie boy.
I didn't even realize he was an Aussie boy.
I'm so jealous that he just pops over to Japan.
He also has a Mark 6 GTI.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yeah, it's sick. It's like very minimal, but like.
Because they hard. Can't do anything extreme because Australia is.
I mean.
No, they get their cars taken away and they lose their license for like 6 months. It's wild.
What about the Majesta?
The Toyota?
Anyways. Yeah. Check out those dudes. Check out Crispy, obviously. Super OG.
Yeah, we love Crispy.
Anthony Halcyon.
Oh, Halcyon for sure.
Mike Koziel, one of like, honest, in my opinion, like probably my personal favorite like automotive filmmaker of all time. And personal shout out, I don't know, if, I don't think this guy still makes videos, but Joe DeLeo made like one of the hardest H2O videos I ever seen. It was like, the end is not the end or something. It was on Vimeo a long time ago. Anyways.
Oh, what about Panzai? Have you ever seen Panzai?
Oh yeah, I watched his videos too.
I love Panzai.
He's out in Japan.
He's out in Japan, and his coloring is so good. It like drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Especially like there's this one video that he shot of this yellow S2K, and he desaturates the whole video, makes it so moody, but masks this car and just makes the yellow so vibrant. Oh, it's like crazy. I know.
What about photographers?
Washness Media as well.
I always mispronounce it.
But
Dead On Media, that dude's crazy. Oh, go check him out.
Oh yeah,
his stuff is pretty trash, bro.
I heard he like never posts.
You did a Ferrari video that I was pretty jazzed about. I was like, oh, that's pretty sick.
Oh yeah, and then, that was shot in like 15 minutes on one road because he didn't want to drive it anywhere, which is understandable. It's F40.
And then, Sean, Impressive Media, who did my V3 reveal out in Lake Elsinore.
That was hard.
That was hard.
Oh, and TCP.
Dude. Bro. Last but not least, we know
too many. JW Media.
There's so many people.
There's too many heads.
Brando.
Yeah, Basic Brando.
Oh yeah,
the scene is saturated, but we're always looking for new people.
If we forgot anybody, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
the scene but is
photographers.
Yeah,
Larry Chen. You gotta say Larry Chen.
Larry Chen.
Did you guys see? I accidentally.
Yeah, you caught Larry Chen.
I was coming back from VJC Tires, and I was like making a TikTok, and I saw a clean ass R32 coming up, and I was like, oh nice, filmed it.
It's Larry Chen.
Put ended up like being like, oh, I'll throw this in the TikTok. It's cool for like 2 seconds, and then someone comments and was like, dog, that was Larry Chen. I was like, ah, no way.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, other photographers.
I gotta shout out Renz.
Renz.
He's been a number one for me. Where it's like I first met him when I had my V1 set up, and he shot that.
Yeah.
And then he shot my he shot my V2 reveal.
Oh,
he shot my V3 reveal.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you know who
else? He might shoot my V4 reveal. We'll see.
He might shoot me in the face.
It's cool like how he's developed over the years, because now he shoots for Motor Trend.
Oh, weird. Yeah.
Oh, that's
so it's like
crazy.
It's cool seeing the progression where you could be just a automotive photographer just doing shoots for clients, just random car guys.
And then you develop that insane job.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah.
Works in a different realm, not quite a photographer. He makes 3D renderings as Keisel, but he's also an amazing photographer.
Oh, he is. Yeah. Yeah. And he sometimes posts photos on his feed, and everybody thinks they're renderings.
Yeah, that's how hilarious. Good he is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But let's kind of make this a little more relatable for somebody at home watching this, right?
Oh no! Wait!
Well, what?
Last photographer, Seb Sebastian. Okay, now I'm done.
Okay.
And again, if we forgot anybody, don't be sad. We still love you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Too many heads.
Yeah. But what we're getting at is not that this is too saturated. You shouldn't do it. If you're watching this or whoever may be out there and they're like, you know what? I love cars. Can't quite afford them. I want to figure out how I can, you know, everybody always says they want to do what they love. They want to work in what they love. Getting into photography around the automotive scene allows you to get closer to that goal without quite having to put out all this big money of building something or having to be involved in doing something so much. So
I want to say this before I lose this. I got to shout out somebody okay. It goes alongside what you're saying exactly. Brian Zilla.
Brian Zilla.
Dude, he grinded it out photography-wise.
So long.
for years
until he bought
an R35 GTR.
Yeah,
why buy?
And so he wasn't. He didn't have his own car. He didn't have a build. Nothing for years. Solely did photography, and then years and years and years of grinding and just working his ass off. He got his dream car, which is R35 GTR.
And you know what's so funny in that? Is he always would hang around in the group everywhere, and he'd be like, "I'm gonna get a GTR." Dog.
Oh yeah.
And you're like,
he
Brian,
was, he was that guy.
No, you're not.
Like, what are you driving right now, bro?
I always had high hopes for him. Yeah, then he just pulled it off out of nowhere. Yeah. We're all like, oh my God.
When he posted and revealed it, I thought he was just taking a photo of somebody else's car.
I thought it was a joke too. Yeah. But major props to you.
Dude. Yeah. Matt, just wanted to say that because it works alongside what you're saying where you could get into it without a build, without working on stuff or anything of
that
matter.
We're getting a little too excited. We're getting a little too excited. We're yelling.
I don't know.
And the other thing about that too is with photography and videography, like we've been saying this entire time, is that even with the builds, like we're saying, and these shape people's opinions, the photography and videography can be just as influential by shaping the way that people are doing things, right? And the way that people are filming these cars and the way that it's consumed. Because to be quite honest, I would have no idea about these builds if they weren't shot, weren't put in magazines, if I didn't watch these videos.
The biggest thing I feel like I want to like encourage photographers or car photographers to try to get into it. It's a very welcoming part of the scene. Like if you're nervous about going to a show because you're like, oh, I don't have a car, blah, blah, blah. Literally, don't worry about it, dude. Like just as people look at you like just as respectfully as car owners. Like,
dude, to give an example, one show years ago, and I see this kid, maybe 14-year-old kid, taking photos of my car.
Oh,
I went up to him, started talking. Super nice kid, and it's something where like making that connection and just having a genuine conversation with him probably like made his day,
dude.
And it's something where they're alone, just taking photos, walking around. Yeah. One genuine conversation like that, talking with somebody who like he's taking photos of his car. Like, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
And it's the easiest way to make friends. Okay, go. We keep going.
Sorry. one of the best, like, coolest moments was back when I was a salesman at Toyota. I was on my way to work in this, like, super loud, aggressive CTSV is, like, cruising past me. And then the back window rolls down, and this 10-year-old leans out the window with the DSLR and starts taking rolling shots. And I was like,
so shout out to Hunter Swift and Soren Swift.
Is that what his name is?
Yep.
Yeah. Cool dudes. That was so sick because I was like, this little kid. And they sent me the pictures and I was like, these are good.
No, he takes some wild rollers. Yeah, it's cool. And then the same as Hunter. Like Hunter's a very talented photographer as well. Okay. Like I'm on my way to work one day with the GTI when I was dailying it. And he just rolls up next to me while driving. Busts out the camera while driving. Starts taking rollers. It but like, no, Soren... For his age, he is insanely talented, and he's only going to be growing from this point. But that just also gives you an example. You could be 12 years old. You could be 14. You could be
any age.
Only knowing how to drive on Forza.
You could be 75, Doug.
Yeah.
You could be pulling up in the walker, getting the smooth shots.
Yeah.
And you could be in the community still, even if you don't have a car or anything.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. I think this was a great...
I hope it was productive. I hope this was like...
I hope it was entertaining to you guys, given that we're not really talking about
car
stuff. We're mixing
car
in...
car world.
But important. Like this whole point that we've been putting on is that this whole thing is important.
And I hope it was informational enough for you guys to where if you're not into photography, but you might want to get into it or start making your own content, you could use some of this information that we talked about and... interpret it into yourself.
Exactly. Okay. And to kind of provide this episode with as much like beneficial material as possible and to try to provide, I don't know, some sort of value outside of the stuff we've already talked about.
Your tips.
Nope.
No. No.
We're going to go into a new section, not called that. It is called Behind the Gate.
Behind the Gate.
Where we
open the gate to gatekeeping.
Is that corny or what, dog?
Let us know. I'm still pulling for show
sorry,
me your tips.
Comment below if you have any better names. We'll put it
we're
show me
opening
your
to
tips.
Suggestions. Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to try to give some helpful tips with our experience of getting automotive photography or
videography,
videography jobs.
Keys, yeah.
And the gear we, maybe real quick, the gear we started with compared to the gear we use now, and maybe what is necessary or not necessary.
Yeah.
I think that's
go
cool.
for it.
Oh, I'm going first. I hate when I go first. So I already said the gear I started with, Canon T2i, pretty much used that in a tripod for the first 6 or 7 years. And then when I moved out here, I got a Sony a7R II to take pictures. And then when I later found out, I got that was around the time I got like the gimbal and stuff, which was a Ronin M. But then I ended up later switching to go more video focused with just an a7 III and a Ronin RS II now, and along with some other accessories, and a 24-70. Really all you need.
Yeah.
More is nice, but that is like 24-70 is just the golden lens.
Yeah. But it's because it covers all the bases that, or bases, basic needs.
Eye.
Yeah. Base eye. Base eye needs. So I like almost follow you.
Yeah. To We're all pretty similar.
Yeah, pretty similar. Yeah. I started off with a T3i. Well, actually, if you want to go before that, I started off with like a stupid camcorder and a GoPro.
Oh, bro. I hit Pentax.
Yeah. Started off with a T3i. Moved to a T5i, then a 70D, and then I went from a 70D to a Sony a7 III. Yeah, same thing. So we're shooting on the same thing. And I have a variety of different lenses. I have a 50. I like a lot of dedicated prime lenses. It's just a stylistic preference because that lens is going to perform the best at what it's made for. You know what I'm saying? At that 50 or at the 24 or whatever I have, I also do that 24 to 70 because it's just a... But
for a while, the only lenses I had was a 50 and a 28 prime. I still have the 50 somewhere, but I switched that out for the 24 to 70, which ended up creating like some more problems, which like the prime lenses are always just simpler and easier balance-wise and all that stuff.
Video-wise, though, for me, I have... For the longest time, like you said, you were using a tripod. I guess my suggestion on top of that is something I always went to because I didn't have very steady hands, is using a fluid pan head for it. I do not suggest anybody get a non-fluid pan head for the tripod because it allows them to like get way smoother shots and just movements if you want to add some sort of dynamic shot to your...
For sure. Real. Definitely. That's like an easy
like easy
baseline. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Compared to getting like a gimbal or something.
A gimbal, yeah.
You don't need a gimbal. You can do so much handheld and all that kind of stuff.
I do almost all my videos handheld.
Yeah. How about you, Steven?
So.
T2i or T3i. Yeah.
My side of things wasn't necessarily. I never got as in depth to you as you guys on the film side of things. Like, I never had a gimbal. I never really shot. Filmmaking or filming cars or anything of that matter. Mm-hmm. I was really just on the photography.
Wow.
I can't speak. Photography side and pushing that aspect of things. So I started off with a T3i, had, what was it? Like the basic base level, like 24-70 lens, like the super basic
the one it comes with.
Yeah. And then I upgraded to the 51.8, which was a game changer for me. Cause one key aspect with that was the F-stop. It allowed me to have a 1.8 F-stop, which got you the bokeh look.
Wasn't that the most exciting thing? When you got your first low
dude, I slapped that lens on, took my first photo, and I was like, this is so sick.
I'm a pro instantly.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Like, I was just like, this changes everything for me.
Yeah.
And then you start learning about how many blades need to be in a lens to get a nice, smooth, circular.
Then I realized how distorted the background got to look if I really pushed the aspects of it.
Yeah.
But besides the point there, and then from there... Down the road, I upgraded to a Canon 60, so I upgraded to a full frame. I rocked the 51.8 for a good time from there until I saved up and got a Sigma Art 35 1.4 lens, which the 1.4 was also another game changer because I don't run it at 1.4 very often. What I do is I run it at 2.0, given that that still gives the bokeh look, but it's much cleaner because if you run at max f-stop, It's
pushing it.
It really pushes it to where it doesn't give that crisp look to it.
Yeah.
So getting something like a 1.4 lens and then backing it off to like 1.8 or 2.0 will give a better look than running a 1.8 lens maxed out at 1.8.
100%. Yeah. That's a good tip. I think a solid rule of thumb for me like that is a 2 bump up like that at the minimum.
And then mixing that with Lightroom editing and really pushing the extremes of how well I could perfect my style in Lightroom and what I could do with pretty much.
It's funny that you just named. Okay, keep going. I'm not going to cut you off. I'm sorry. It just made me think of something.
With like color grading in terms of photo editing, messing with all the color graphs, hues, saturation, all that. Where instead of just messing with like shadows, highlights, clarity, all those basic editings, really diving into the color profile like photography editing, to where you guys have done that with videography to an extreme level. I really try to push it on the photography side and really push that aspect of things. So
Lightroom's just the best.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. That's exactly what I was gonna say when I caught that. Is that unanimously here we use Adobe Studios.
Yeah.
Premiere,
Final Cut, Final Cut, you can die.
Yeah. I started on iMovie, and then because of iMovie, I went to Final Cut. Don't go through that phase. I mean, a lot of people love it.
So for editing software through Adobe, Lightroom is what you want to use for photo editing. Photoshop is what you want to use if you want to really change the like Photoshop something out of the background,
clean up things,
whatever it may be, really changed the photo itself. And then Premiere for video editing.
Yeah. So like Lightroom, I say.
And then for graphics, right?
After Effects. After Effects, you can edit sometimes videos in After Effects.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like, it just kind of depends what you're trying to achieve, because it's not always like an animation, but After Effects does offer a lot of other things. So like, a tracking shot. Sometimes if I want to track a wheel and keep it in the center of the frame, I'll do that in After Effects.
Yeah.
And even for iPhone people, like they have Photoshop and Lightroom on your phone. Or honestly,
super accessible.
VSCO is pretty sick.
Like, dude, I rocked VSCO for like a lot of iPhone photos I've posted in the past. I just throw it into VSCO real quick, make it like a little moody, mm-hmm. and then post it up.
I pay for VSCO just so I can edit color and videos, which I honestly never use, but small apps like that, you'd be amazed with what you can do.
Yeah.
So
you
don't have to have the $1,000 whatever software.
And then also like for little like video stuff, like on your iPhone, like editing TikToks or Reels, CapCut and InShot.
I was a big doubter of CapCut, and then he put me onto it. I used it, and I was like, this is actually
it's solid. Because one cool feature about CapCut that here goes into the gatekeeping aspect.
The audio separation.
You could import a video and only keep the audio and plug that audio into the video you're editing, because I like with all the social media for the show that I create, all those videos, a lot of them are original audio. And what I do is I edit it all in CapCut. And then what I do is the songs that are in Instagram.
Yeah, you can steal them.
I screen record it playing the song, and just for the audio purpose, plug that video of the screen recorded video into CapCut, export the audio in CapCut, plug it into the video, then post the video onto IG Reels.
Super smart and innovative. Yeah. And another thing I want to say, like tips for video wise that you're just talking about, the exporting video thing, if you're trying to get into any type of photography or videography or anything, and if you're trying to just film like whole B-rolls of cars, I would say a huge tip for filming cars is sound design, right? And capturing cars, the exhaust and things like that. I would suggest getting a literally $20, $30 microphone that plugs into your phone that you can then stick in the trunk and then duct tape that little lapel microphone next to the exhaust so you can get the exhaust notes and then extract the audio from that video, layer it in CapCut, and you got a full-size production.
Bro. If you want to go even cheaper, the video I did on that 32686, mm-hmm. It was just my phone duct taped to his bumper doing a voice message.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean,
That's a little sketchier because your whole phone is on the line there.
I tucked the duct tape into the trunk. It was okay.
Ingenuity
come
there.
On, bro.
Yeah.
Broke mindset.
Yeah, broke mindset until you got a broke phone, and then the broke phone is like a...
It was damn, already stop being a Debbie Downer,
I know,
bro.
I know, I'm just saying. Okay. It's $20 for the microphone.
Okay.
We've gone too long on this, so
yeah.
Let's both try to give like one or two basic tips you think would help people for either applying for these video automotive or photo-based automotive jobs, or maybe like... how you got in contact with someone that you worked with. I'm not going first.
Okay. So the way that I actually get in contact with people, and I suggest all the time, and I know you guys probably do it and you're like, this never works for me, but is to I do all three. I try and DM, send an email, and call. It's like literally the cold calling strategy, mm-hmm. but that the trifecta, if you will. One of them is bound to land, and it's not going to say it's going to land on that exact person you're trying to reach, but at least try and get in contact with somebody. I try and get as many contact information sources as I can for one thing, and I kind of blitz market it, right? Yeah. And I do that for a bunch of people. So I may not get one individual, but it's bound to land somewhere. The key here is consistency, and I think that's the only way that you're going to get these jobs and the job that you want.
I agree.
It's just being consistent.
100%. What about you, Steven?
My tip with it, it's kind of going to be your portfolio
mm-hmm.
and how you're reaching out to clients and kind of your pitch to them. Build your portfolio. If it's a matter of doing some free shoots to build that portfolio to where you could pick certain cars that kind of match what you want to put out, go for it. It's fine to do some shoots for free to gather some content and build your portfolio because that's still valuable to you. It's not necessarily free. You're still getting content for yourself to use for yourself, so that has value in it. The pitch in terms of, let's say, reaching out to potential clients, what you could do is you could tell them, hey, I'd like to shoot your car, develop a pitch for them. You could let them know that, hey, the first shoot, I'll do it for free, no charge, just because I want to show you the experience I have to offer and what content I could give you and offer you. And then after the shoot after that, if you want to carry on, let's say, me shooting for you, then from there, it'll be paid for.
This is what the price will be.
Yeah. But it's giving them the experience first because – when you just reach out to them and cold call them, you could show them as many photos as possible, but certain people, they want an experience out of it. And if you could give them a proper experience to where you're professional and you handle the process accordingly and you give them good content as well, they'll pay whatever amount you say. It's about handling the situation properly, not just saying, oh yeah, this is my rate. Shoot with me.
Yeah. It's also
giving them an experience.
Don't be ridiculous with what you ask. Don't take what Steven said literally. You can ask for whatever you want. Don't ask somebody for $1 million.
Yeah.
For your photo.
You're not
got to be a little
shot.
Reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I 100% agree with like both you guys. Definitely, like Tyler said, when I first moved here, I just emailed as many wheel companies as I could think of until one stuck. Unfortunately, the one stuck happened to be the one it was, but.
It is what it is.
Win some, you lose some. and definitely kind of building off of Steven, where kind of showing a business the value you can provide ahead of time and not, instead of trying to just describe it to them, instead show them what you can do.
Yep.
But on top of that, I think just a huge part of all photo and video work is like just be around.
Right.
Like, at shows or events or anything that's car related, people like to use people they're familiar with or familiar faces or building long-term relationships with these people and then later down the line getting work through them. And yeah, just like be the guy that's available and willing to shoot and obviously find the day rate or whatever your prices are that works for you. Be confident in them. But, you know, still be willing to to work with people in certain things.
Yeah, and most of all, I think, you know what? I really enjoyed this. Genuine, because I think we're picking something that we all genuinely care about, and it shows, like, this is what we're passionate about, but I want that to, like, kind of relate to you guys. Most of all, have fun doing it.
Yeah. If you don't have fun doing this, this is not for you. Get out. You're going to be miserable within the year.
If you're only doing it to try to make money.
Yeah, this is not for you,
though. No.
Yeah. This is the amount of times I've hit record this, for free is
this is not an insane. This is not an industry to where it's your make a million quick or get rich quick.
No, this is like you got to build and earn your respect in the community. Yeah,
and I wouldn't even say I'm freaking successful
yet.
If it's,
yeah,
if it's still grinding.
Yeah, if it's not built off passion for it, there won't be success paired with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No. I think that's well said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And from there.
Late night call out.
So.
Late night call out.
Since you always want to sing it, you always
you
get to
have
go first.
To go first.
That's how this works.
Dang. It's a good thing I'm always ready.
Yeah, he is honestly, he's the only one who shows up every time. He's like, I have had this picked for a week.
Yeah, yeah. I know who I'm, because I see stuff, I like it. Simple guy.
I see stuff, I forget it. Yeah. Simple guy.
My call out for today is Cole TTG, the freaking homie. I don't really know you in person. I'm saying the homie anyways, but he has got,
I've met him in person. Yeah, I could attest. Cool dude.
He's a fellow SEMA guy. I haven't been to SEMA, but I'm, you know.
Jesus Christ. How many times, bro?
Self-promo here. You know, manifesting it just like you with your LFA.
I'm not getting that.
No, I'm talking about the ride.
Oh, yeah. Let me get that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so Cole has a ridiculously clean and undescribable R32.
Describe it.
I'll describe it for you. It is, it's an immaculate. It's built from head to toe, literally. It's, I couldn't say.
Headers to toe arms?
Yeah, headers to toe arms.
Wow. No, I'm pretty sure it was frame up.
Yeah, frame up. Everything on this car is fully built. It's from the wheels to all the paint body work, the carbon fiber work, the big turb ski, the freaking 2J in there. Everything, dude. It is immaculate.
He swapped a 2J into it.
Yeah.
And also, he made it left-hand drive.
Yeah. Some people are not with it, but it's done very well. And let me tell you, I know you may think it's sacrilegious to take the right-hand drive and move it to the left-hand drive, but
it's different and cool.
It's different and it's freaking good, bro. You can't knock it. It's just, it is what it is. And when you look at it, you're going to be like, all right.
And the cool thing is he does builds like this for a living.
Yeah, so he has a shop. Shout out
to If you're
shop.
Out there in Canada land.
Yep. Shout out to Throttle Thrashers. Hit him up. But it's going to be a quick one for today because we already rambled a lot about cameras. So,
yeah. What about you, Steven? What are you feeling?
My call out's going to be the homie Justin Constant, Jay Constant. He is the guy behind Status Racing and also Local Car Scene. So if you follow Status Racing Seats, he is the man behind that company in terms of managing it and whatnot. So if you see their sponsored stuff, like all their jokes they do, he's the brains behind it. Super funny dude.
Very
he does
funny guy.
Very well in terms of marketing and all that. He's revived Status as a brand, which has been cool to watch over the years. And then also Local Car Scene, which he's done for years and years, and that show has grown immensely. Definitely check that out. It's over in Temecula. He holds kind of like a cars and coffee thing as well as a yearly show. Definitely check him out. Check out Status as well.
You know,
super cool dude.
I give Justin a ton of credit because the dude is a wizard at marketing, right? Very good at it, at what he does. But what he is very good at doing is connecting with the community, but kind of distancing himself personally. So, like, he owns his own, the local car scene thing, right? And does huge events, and they're awesome. But personally, he keeps himself separated. You know what I'm saying?
He doesn't draw. Even though, like, he's, like, with Status, he shows up on videos and talks and stuff.
Right.
He's still separated to where he's not.
He's his own individual. People aren't, like, geeking out, like, oh, hey, crazy. That's, like, you know what I'm saying? He's very, very good, very humble dude, too.
Yeah. Alex.
Sorry, we just gassed up somebody.
Every time. Yeah. Just stress out when it's my turn. My pick for this week, Johnny E60 Daddy. Obviously, BMW E60. Crazy white, of course. Like VIP style, grafted, retrofitted job design kit. Just a ton of like custom body work done, I believe, by Ulterior Motive.
Ulterior Motive. Oh, man. That shop is just...
One day I'll be able to afford
seeing the
work.
Process of that build when it was getting built, and it was built to perfection.
Oh, yeah. There's so much of this that is, like, crazy detailed. And obviously on some big old fancy shiny Leon Harditz.
Yeah.
But not only is, like, all of the bodywork custom and, like, literally all made of parts not for that car, the interior... This is the VIP GOAT. He also owns VIP Aesthetics. And he makes VIP tables, trays, mats, any VIP interior accessory.
So
you
if
can
you
think
have
of.
A VIP build and you want cool interior stuff,
hit him up.
Yeah, like the floor mats, tables,
it's,
all that.
The
type
floor
of
mats
stuff.
Are
top quality. Yeah. I bought my first VIP table from him in like 2016. Maybe 2015. I've never went with anybody else. Highly
handmade stuff.
Recommend. Yeah, like literally, it's the attention to detail is very.
It's literally aesthetic.
VIP.
Yeah,
but yeah, pure VIP guy. He also has a Sequoia.
Sequoia Overland build.
For another Instagram,
which is rad. All the pure VIP guys also have insane
4x4.
Overland builds.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. They started this new subsection a while ago. Pure 4x4. If you haven't checked that out and wanted to see what type of Overland vehicles VIP people build,
they're wild.
It's actually insane.
I'm jealous of literally all of them. But shout out to him. He's super nice dude. Super good work. Super insanely. Clean, detailed car.
Yep.
And I think that's going to wrap this one up. But before we close it, I'm going to do like an unscripted thing that unplanned. And this one's not going to be bad. Actually, I want to do a whole mental health one this time. And tell people, like, you know what? A lot of times, like, even us here on this podcast may seem like super happy and upbeat, and like, including myself, right? But just transparency, recently, I've been feeling super unmotivated and kind of depressed because I own 3 vehicles that do not work.
Oh.
I have my Porsche that's torn apart sitting in the driveway. My Genesis, broken. My motorcycle,
broken.
It's tough. And a lot of times I feel unmotivated myself. So a lot of times you could see people out here who
feel that.
Who struggle just as much. I know you struggle the same with all the difficulties of...
I am an advocate for mental health. My
right.
lifestyle brand is mental health focused, and I push positivity in day by day. And it is a little bit ironic to where I battle with myself on a day by day basis. It's something where there's days where I literally just don't want to do anything. I'm not motivated at all. I'm just depressed. Like I've been through the courses, and it's something where that's why I'm so in depth with pushing it out. And being an advocate for it because it's important, especially in this day and age. And it's something where you got to focus on yourself. You got to treat your mental health with importance, and really take care of yourself on that aspect.
Yeah.
Not me, dog. I'm so sane. I got no problems, nothing going on at all. I'm just happy 24/7.
Why are you joking?
Yeah.
That's so serious, dude. Come on. What are you talking about? Yeah, if you're bummed, looking for motivation on your car, you're not having a good day, just more days are coming, dog.
Yeah, I know. That's what, because like even
don't stress out too much.
Yeah.
It's and we're all victims to it. We have very high stress loads. With
our hobbies
and the pressure.
We put a lot of stuff on our plates, and stress is a high aspect when that happens.
Yeah.
But
if you're going through it, you're not the only one going through it.
You're not the only one.
Especially with the car shit. This shit is stressful and it sucks. But it's all worth it once you get to where you want to go. So
with that, keep your heads up. You guys are going to fucking make it.
Keep watching. Keep subscribing.
Keep watching. Keep subscribing.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for next week. And that's it.
Yeah.
Bye.
Peace. Lame.